Let's just start talking, because I think that we do better with that.
Are you going to edit other stuff in, but nobody knows what we're talking about right now?
It's okay, because usually you can intro it, and then I can edit things and throw them around in different directions so that people do know what we're talking about.
So are you going to put that on the podcast, how condescending you just were to talking to me about it?
Listen, if you felt like that was condescending, you might need to get to the bottom of some internal dialogue.
Well, we'll let the guests decide.
Okay.
So we're talking about 75 hard.
From sibling rivalry to sibling raillery, Hannah and Gary are ordinary siblings on the quest to build extraordinary lives. Join the conversation and good-humored banter as they explore the highs, lows, middle ground moments, and laughable lessons along the personal growth journey.
Okay, well, welcome back to the Hannah and Gary show, Gary and Hannah show. That's your preference. We're on episode 275, or is it two? Can't remember. Time is just
commercial
flown
break.
By.
Do you ever stick your foot in your mouth? Well, Gary does a lot, and so he started wearing Cherry Box. They have all the cushioning and technology you would expect from an ordinary sneaker, but they taste great when you stick your foot in your mouth.
So I think we're on episode two. But time has flown by. As I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted.
It was a commercial break.
So episode two, not 275, but 275 will be right around the corner. We're kind of talking about fitness and wellness and mental toughness. So we were talking about 75 hard. Hannah's done it before, and I'm doing it right now. It's not a fitness program or a challenge. There's a dog barking, if you can't tell. We don't have a official studio that is completely soundproof, so we need video so you can see Hannah's face every time the neighbor's dog barks. You can probably feel it, so I'm just getting it out there right now. Every time you hear this dog from way across the alley make noise, just imagine the grimace on Hannah's face every time, like it's ruining our life. So you probably didn't realize...
Such an overstatement.
You probably didn't realize that we're not... in a $100,000 recording studio in the back of my house.
We should be. It's only a matter of time.
I'm just being really real with you right now. So we got to talking about 75 hard. So Hannah's going to tell us all about it because she's a graduate of the program.
No, you were saying something right when I hit record, and I said, say that again so that I could record it. And you said something about like when people...
Yeah.
People can feel like a failure.
I feel like you're really controlling me right now. What I was saying was, they do tell you...
Commercial break. Gary's got to go see his therapist. Deal with some of these insecurities so we can move on with the podcast. And done. Go ahead.
Okay. So, one of the things they talk about when you do 75 hard, it's a, well, basically what it is a mental toughness program, and it's designed to move in from the 75 hard to the live hard program, which is designed to be a way of life because mental toughness is like a muscle, and if you don't exercise it regularly, it will atrophy, and then you will be back to being a wuss.
I just want to pause for a second and say, if you don't know that there's a live hard part, you're like, heck yes, I just crushed this. So good. Awesome. And then it's like, yeah, you did that. Now, within the next 30 days, we want you to do that. And we want you to add a cold shower every day. And we want you. And I was like, what is this? I felt so accomplished. And now it's, you know, I got to do more to be more accomplished. But it really was a great program.
Yeah. One of the things they do talk about is you have to be cautious when you go into something like 75 hard, because basically if you miss something of the five things you have to do every day, then you have to start back over at day one. So if you're on day 74 and you forget to take a progress picture or drink a gallon of water or read 10 pages or do two workouts, one outside, you have to start back over at day one. So it's very easy to feel like you're going to be a loser your whole life and not just right now. and you're never going to be able to do it. So you have to really put the time in to keep going until you can complete the program so you'll understand the benefits of the program, which for me has given me a whole lot more structure that I wanted. I really have to plan out my day to get everything in. Just the responsibility that is mine and mine only, that nobody else can control, and I can't make any excuses for anything that I don't get done. So it's changed my world tremendously. I'm only on day 35, so.
Only day 35 is actually really big. I mean, it's hard. It's called hard for a reason, and it's like you go through, I don't know if this has been your experience or not, but for me, I went from being pretty stagnant. I just wasn't doing much at all physically. And so just to get out and my outdoor workout started as, okay, I'm going to go walk around the neighborhood for 75 days for 45 minutes. I didn't do all the 75 days in one big lump. Anyways, just starting at that, I mean, it's like your body, it hurts after, when you're doing 2 45-minute workouts a day, even if you're starting out with one of them being that you're walking outside or walking anywhere, that your body starts to talk to you when you're our age, like, you know, mid-40s, maybe not when you're in your 20s, I don't know. But like, I would find that I'd go walking and day 13, all of a sudden there's a place in my foot that's hurting when I'm trying to walk. And so the thing that really helped push me to do it is I had heard about this program. It's Andy Frisella. He has a book about it. He does a podcast where he talks about it. And I'd heard about it. I heard all these people talk about it. But every single person I had heard talk about it spoke about it in terms of like, oh yeah, I got to day 10 and then I had to start over, because there are those tasks you have to do every day, and we can make sure we put those out there. He has an app that makes it, to me it was worth it to have the app to keep me on task every single day. It'll send you reminders if you missed a task. But I thought it was this like weird program, like, why does everybody start this and stop and stop and start and start and stop? I'm not even going to mess with that. And one day I went to lunch with a friend that I hadn't seen in probably a year or so. And man, she was glowing and she looked like maybe she had lost a little bit of weight, but she just carried herself with a different kind of confidence than she used to. And I literally asked her, hey, what's different about you? There's something different. Because I really couldn't put my finger on it. I wasn't like, oh, she's shed some weight, or oh, she cut her hair. It was just an essence about her. And she just as matter-of-factly said, oh, I did this program and it changed my life. It's called 75 Hard. Have you heard of it? And I had heard of it. And I was like, oh, well, tell me more. And she's like, oh, yeah, I just decided I was going to do it. And I started and I got through it my first try. And it was just hearing that one person tell me something that made me believe it was possible that spurred me on to go, oh, well, she's like me and she was able to do that. So I should be able to do that. And so I set my mind on it and I downloaded the app. She told me some of the pointers that she had done, like downloading the app, and gave me some of the things that helped her get through it. And I was like, oh, well, I can do that. And then I set my mind to do it, and I never looked back. And I went through all 75 days and never had a problem. It was hard. It was really hard. And you do it in rain or shine. I realized I'm not necessarily like some people in terms of level of hardcore. First of all, if you join any of the 75 Hard support groups on social media, there are people on there that are doing things in like sub-zero temperatures, and I'm like, okay, well, they're definitely more 75 hard than I am. But then you would have people that are like, listen, we have a hurricane moving in today. If I can't go do my outdoor workout when this hurricane's coming through, then do I have to start over? And I was like, okay, if you're at that point,
you have to start over.
You do have to start over. You're also missing the point. Like, you're missing something. And so anyways, it was so fantastic to set my mind to something. And I did this program about a year and a half ago. And it was like I forgot what I was really capable of. I'd kind of gotten muddled down. I was in a little bit of a, an emotional slump. I had just come out of a season that was, it was pretty hard. And I just was like, man, I need to remember who I am, because I've been spending a whole lot of time trying to convince people of who I am. And maybe I need to remember who I am so that I'm not so busy feeling like I have to convince other people. So it was really great for me.
Oh, are you done? That was very short.
I just wanted to
sorry,
say that one,
sorry, Hannah, so brief.
That one thing.
So I'm still in the middle of it. I'm super motivated. I tried it once before. I'll make a joke that I did like 16 or 17 day ones because I never completed anything. I did better than that, but not. I wasn't in the place I was when I started this one. So I just started it because I was already working on a health journey, but really and truly, 2023 was a tough year on me financially, with real estate kind of really tanking and everything was down 40-50%, and it stressed me out as a dad and a husband and all that, not being able to make the money I needed to make. And I knew I needed to toughen myself up to the point that this doesn't happen again. And maybe it does happen again from risks I might take or whatever, but it won't be for lack of effort and doing everything I can to stay on the winning side of things. So when I started it, I was already fired up and I'd already started losing some weight, and now I'm more fired up than I was when I started. And
how's your energy?
Oh, it's good. Well, we've got puppies right now, so I'm up every 3-4 hours alternating with getting our puppies fed. But to me, also, I look at that as just part of what I get to overcome to get all my stuff done. So when it's super cold out in the mornings, I get out there and I always get around the track first thing in the morning about 5 o'clock. And I always wanted to do that before I started this, but I wouldn't discipline myself to get up. So I'd hit the snooze 1,000 times, but you can't do that anymore. And now I know that's something that I can do and will continue to do. So
that's good. So let's talk about the different components of it. One of them is drinking a gallon of water every single day, exercising 2 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
One of them has to be outdoor, kind of regardless of the weather. So if it's raining.
Well, not kind of.
No, it's definitely.
Completely regardless of the weather.
Yeah, but if it's like a tornado's hitting and.
Well, then you just have to start over.
Yeah. Yeah. So thankfully there were no tornadoes that I had to avoid and start
over.
Yeah,
as soon as we started, like day 2 and 3, we were in Lubbock to visit my daughter. And it was when we had the, I don't know, 10 or 14 degree days. And up there it's windy and it was super miserable. But there's still a little bit of a twisted accomplishment in that as well. So I like it.
I actually found that I loved when I would go out and it would be raining, because I'm like, look what I'm doing. You know, this is something that I easily could talk myself out of doing if I was just in a kind of semi-routine.
Commercial break. Sometimes Hannah is kind of stinky. So she's got this new product that she swears by and will never get away from. They're charcoal underwear, so she can stink into the underwear, but it never makes it out, and she smells fresh all day. I can't speak to what happens when you get home and take those off, but that's not important.
I mean, yes, I love them.
Get you some today.
Oh, my goodness. Back to the show.
Yeah.
So, the... I can't. Oh, gosh. I totally lost my train of thought.
Well, we don't need to do an entire show on 75 Hard. We can refer you to Andy Frisella's 75 Hard episode. It's much more intense than this one. I'm going to give y'all some podcasts to listen to as well. But for me, I did it. I'm doing it. I plan to do the Live Hard. All of that in order to really just discipline myself more and more and more. Because the more that you can uphold the promises to yourself, the more confidence you build in yourself. So one of the biggest ones most people struggle with is the no alcohol for 75 days. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would be an issue, but so far, 35 days in, it's really not.
So I thought that as well. And for...
Well, Hannah drinks a lot.
Shut up. I did drink. Well, I will say this. I thought it was going to be hard, and then as soon as I'm like, there, what's a good time of year to do this? Because it's going to be 75 days. When can I do it? And it really doesn't matter when you start. There will be something in that 75 days that you're like, crap.
Oh, yeah, probably I'm several.
I wish I could drink. For me, I was like trying to pay attention to what the weather was, what, you know, more mild or easier to deal with to start it then. And then the alcohol part, I was like, right away was Oktoberfest. And I was like, well, booger.
that's not good.
But what I found was it really, I became clearer minded, and I'm not, Gary was joking about what a big drinker I am, but I did regularly like drink if we were in a social gathering, or I would maybe drink if I felt like I was going to be around a bunch of people and I wanted to take the edge off so that I felt more myself or comfortable without being anxious. And so little things like that here and there I would do, and I found that those occasions would come up. And so, like, I'm hosting my son's entire football team at our house, and just me and a bunch of athletes at my house cooking dinner, making sure that everybody's taken care of. And there would have been a time when I would be like, man, I just need a drink, and I'll be fine. And after the program was over, I can tell you, I've been off of this thing officially and unofficially for a year and a half. And I can really say I drink very rarely now. And the things that I've found, A, when I finally did drink again, which it really took quite a while after I'd finished the program to even have a drink, and I woke up the next day and I felt really crappy. And it's kind of like when you've been eating really clean and then you start eating junk and you're like, oh, this doesn't feel good. And you realize, like, I probably had that underlying ick feeling all the time and my body just learned to adapt to it. But you're not really aware of it until you cut that stuff out and then start adding that junk back in again. So for me, it was like, gosh, I finally was way more aware of how icky I felt if I did have a drink. And then I also liked how clear-minded I felt at, say, like, I think you had a Halloween party during the time when I was really ready to finish. And so at that point, I was really motivated to stay the course because I think I had 10 days left on the program or something. And you had this awesome party. And I would have loved to have drank there, but I had no desire by that point to drink, none at all. And I loved how clear-minded I felt, just having conversation with people and not, I mean, it was great. It was a great feeling. And that is one of the things that I would say was one of the best takeaways from this, is knowing that, like, really, I feel much better without alcohol. So, thoughts, feelings, commercial breaks.
I feel pretty good not drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were talking way too long. So I'm trying to come back to it. It's like one of your,
you're so mean.
It's like your Facebook posts. My finger gets sore scrolling up.
Yeah, but it's so captivating. You'll keep reading because
I mean,
it's good
I read
stuff.
It. So when you ask me about it, I can say I read it. You don't think I'm an a-hole. Anyways.
Reading 10 pages a day.
Yeah, I love that anyway. So I always like reading.
What do you think the value is in reading in print versus listening on Audible?
Well, I don't get distracted as easy. And if I do, I can just look back up and start over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love listening to podcasts, but sometimes I got to go back and realize that I was just having some conversation in my head about somebody that cut me off and I don't even know what they were talking about.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know.
Because you do have some anger issues we probably need to look at. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to talk about that. Just kidding.
What's your favorite book that you've read?
So right now I'm finishing Andy Frisella's book on mental toughness. It's a pretty easy read, but it goes through just some examples of some people that have trained themselves up well, and then it goes through the 75 Hard and the Live Hard program. So I'm almost done with that. So that's my main one I've been reading, and then I've got several books, marketing books and other things I've been reading to. I don't like reading fiction at all, which you can't read fiction books. It has to be something that betters you, that's nonfiction. But so far, everything I've been reading is good. Extreme Ownership, that's one we're reading.
One of my favorites is The Gap and the Gain.
Yep, read that.
You actually made reference to that in the intro to the podcast, kind of that the difference between like looking at where you want to go, and that bar is always going forward. So it's always going to, if you're always looking at where you are now compared to where you want to go, you're always going to feel like you're like not ever going to arrive, because it's that bar is always moving. But if you compare where you are now to where you used to be and how far you've come, then yep. you can be energized to keep going forward. So start focusing on your gain instead of your gap.
And another book that they wrote is called 10X is Easier Than 2X, mm-hmm. and that's one of my favorites. Because if you don't know this, all the competition's at the bottom. The bottom's where everybody's fighting over everything and think that there's not enough to go around. But once you start moving up the food chain, you realize there's a lot other people to champion each other rather than beat each other down, afraid they're going to take their business or whatever that looks like. So in that, let's talk about who you surround yourself with. That's something that's important.
It's important. What yeah. do you have to say about that?
Well, I have to say that there's a lot of people in our world. Sometimes they're family. Sometimes they're friends you've grown
Why'd
up
you
with.
Why'd you look at me when you said that?
No reason. That are just losers. No, just kidding. It's not about being losers. It's about having a different mindset. And we're not just talking about if you're a business owner. Even if you're working for somebody, how do you carry yourself? Do you want to better yourself? Do you want to move up the food chain? Do you want to own your own business and make as much money as you possibly can to have as much impact as you want? Or do you just want to have tons of money to buy all the stuff that you want, or all of the above? Well, you can't get there if all your friends are the ones that hate on what you do and speak death over what you do and don't understand it. A lot of people don't understand working for yourself and aspiring to have things and do things. And when people are going to squash your stuff, and usually it's not intentional.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is.
But I want to surround myself with people that I want to aspire to be like. I would love to always be the smallest person in the room. And sometimes that's the case. Sometimes not the case, but
I haven't accomplished enough yet for anybody to try to drag me down to the bottom. Maybe I'm a bottom feeder.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm tired of you hating on everything I'm doing.
I hate what you just said just there.
Right. And I hate that you hate that, but I don't mind it because I champion your hate.
Thank you for always championing me. I'm going to rise above now.
Anyways, we are people we spend the most time with. So that's sometimes hard, though, because the people I want to be, sometimes I don't know a lot of people like that. So sometimes mm-hmm. my inner circle is my podcasters, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to be able to have somebody you can kick ideas off of and know that they'll try to find a way to make things happen
mm-hmm.
and not just tell you how impossible your thoughts are.
You know, I can tell a huge difference when I've been around people who are high-minded versus being around people that are negative, don't think big. It just energizes you to be mm-hmm. around people who, and sometimes you can just feel it off of people. Just when they walk in a room, you can go, oh, this is somebody who's growth minded.
That's nice of you to say that.
I was actually not looking at you when I said that.
I'll have to buy some of that underwear you wear. Anyways, keep going. You're ruining the moment.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was a pretty good moment. A Facebook post moment. I can tell a difference when I've been surrounded, and even in the business that we're in right now, if you're going solo, it can become lonely, and you can kind of isolate if you're not careful. And there's a difference between that and being around the energy of just even where we are, like at the office. There's a different kind of energy that you feel when you're there regularly, as opposed to staying at home all the time or not going to meetings or not going to trainings. It can slip into that. And it, I mean, when you're surrounded by, when I was in leadership, you know, when you were on leadership too at our brokerage, like being able to go to some really high-minded events to get people to pour in, even just being surrounded by that mm-hmm. was so life-changing for me in terms of how big I could think.
How do you take that and keep it going, though?
For me personally, I don't think I'm capable of sustaining that if I don't have a circle that's pushing me forward or that's pulling me
forward.
Well,
I'll tell you something that actually happens. Like, kind of even with the 75 hard, one of the things they talk about is once you start operating in the discipline and everything that you're doing with, you're keeping your diet plan because there's no cheat days, you're not drinking, you're working out, you're doing all the things, you're checking off your power list, you go to these events and you come back and you're doing them and doing them and doing them, and then I would say well over 90% of the people don't keep doing them. You know what I mean?
Like, he is looking at me when he said that.
We are the only two people in the room.
For
just
real
so you know.
This
so,
time, yeah.
So I'm trying to engage you with conversation, with eye contact.
Thank you.
Make you feel better about yourself. So what I'm saying is it's very easy to start feeling frustration towards other people because now you've tasted what it feels like to take better care of yourself and start elevating your life. And then you see those around you just not even trying. So how do you deal with that? I don't know. For me, I just hope that they get it because it took the time that I had to take to get it, you know? So
this is a difference between how you and I think, though. I will say this is a personality difference between you and I, and it's something that is, like with you, you've got that personality that's like, I get this. Why don't you get this? This is...
Right.
And... I don't tend to get as frustrated if somebody doesn't get, I may take it personally. Like that's where my personality is. Like I take it personally about something when with you, you're more easily able to be like, I don't know what their problem is. I don't know why they don't get on board, but I'm moving forward, you know? And meanwhile, I'm probably one who more wants to shoulder what it is that they're feeling that's keeping them from going forward.
Oh yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a difference.
But I will say, yeah, I do also realize that there's plenty of time when somebody's probably wondering why I wasn't doing something, but now I'm doing it. So everybody needs to get on board or get out of the way. Mm-hmm. Quit being losers. I'm just kidding. Not losers. So back to the question, how do you get into the circles of people that you want to be in if you're not used to being in those circles of people? I would say, for one, you cut loose the relationships that are not, I shouldn't say serving you, but that's kind of true. If they're not serving you, why waste your time with people that want to tear you down? I've had plenty of people that I love, but they don't have any desire to do what I'm doing, and I'm not going to get to elevate what I want to do if I stay just existing in what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I still love them, still chat with them, and be friends with them, but you're not going to make the inner circle of people that I spend my time with and really cut up ideas with, and we challenge each other and try to move forward. So, but sometimes that's difficult to get into those places. Like there's plenty of people around here doing big things in our city, and finding the right ones, it's not always that easy.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because some people think they're doing bigger things than they are, and they're super proud of it. It's their own insecurities. We all have them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're putting off an image that you just want people to think you're doing something and you're not.
Yeah.
That's not fun. So I don't want to be a part of that either. I want to try to be as authentic as I can.
Yeah.
And be honest that I want to do as much business as I can and make as much money as I can and make as much impact as I can.
Mm-hmm. There's a difference between being a poser, which is kind of what you described.
Poser, that goes back to the old skateboarding days.
It does. That's where I was headed with that.
Rad.
Versus imposter syndrome.
Well, imposter syndrome is when you feel like you're not where you should be, you know.
Or you're not worthy of being
You feel
where
like
you are.
You're not worthy to be in the room. And the truth is, everybody in the room's got the same problem. We all feel like we're, that's when you know you're in the right group, when you all feel like, oh man, everybody else is bigger than me. I can't live up to what they're doing, you know. And meanwhile, they're thinking, oh man, he's over there doing big things, and I'm not really doing that big a thing, you know. Everybody deals with that, but I just think it's building your own confidence, keeping those promises to yourself that you set forth to do. Because we've all said we're going to do something and then didn't do it. I heard something the other day. I loved. It's like, well, if your friend told you, hey, I'm going to come over and I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to take care of this, I'm going to do this, and we're going to do this, and I'm going to take care of this and that and this and that, and they never do it, you're going to quit having confidence in them that they're going to show up and do anything.
Yeah.
So mentally, you're doing the same thing to yourself mm-hmm. when you know what you want to do and you didn't do it. Like, I used to get really down on myself because I didn't get out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning like I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't do that. 7 days a week, I'm up at 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel good when I get back from going out and doing my track or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's what Ed Milette describes it as, is confidence is keeping the promises we make to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Once you know who you are, and that's a journey in itself that we're all on, but the more that I'm knowing who I am, I don't really give a good dad gum what you have to say.
Thank you for keeping it clean.
Yeah, yeah. That way we didn't have to put the explicit on there. Son of a... Just kidding. I don't know. I'm just more and more getting to where I'm not really concerned with what anybody else thinks. And I think that's where people's confidence gets killed, is words and actions of other people. And, you know, I've dealt with that my whole life. We all have, in whatever it is, whether it's in a profession or in your business or whatever. But the bottom line is, if you can't keep your own confidence, then I don't want to live on the, on what everybody else thinks. Done that plenty.
Commercial break. Today's episode is sponsored by Laundry Elliptical. It's an elliptical that you hang your laundry on. Back to the show.
Your mom. That was my teenage.
Your mom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, your mom is so
Hi,
awesome.
Mom. Hi, Mom.
Yeah, so that's an interesting topic to me, confidence and building it up and walking it out, and sometimes just experience too, learning that you are capable of doing some things and stepping out in things that you don't know. You're always going to be not have a lot of confidence,
mm-hmm.
but if you keep doing it, you're going to get better.
That's true. That's kind of where building expertise, you get confident. Mm-hmm. I've found one of the things lately is, a lot of times I don't know that I know what I'm talking about. I know that sounds like a surprise, but then I'll go and check myself and it's like, oh, I knew exactly what I was talking about. I should at some point have confidence in what I'm saying and know it. I heard it said somewhere, I think it was Ed Milette at Family Reunion. He said that it's not as important that you know what you're talking about, but that people know that you believe what you're saying. Not that you don't know what you're talking about, like as an expertise, but that like, if you're saying something, that you truly believe what you're saying. So mm-hmm. to speak with confidence of, I truly believe this, that has more influence on people than saying something and they're not even sure if you believe what you're saying.
Yeah, sure. So, I agree with that.
That's actually an area that I'm growing in, is learning to speak. Even a minute ago, when I described 75 hard, that if it's bad weather and you have to stop, that you kind of need to do it every day or you'll have to start over. And you're like, not just kind of. Like, sometimes I'll just use that kind of language that sounds wishy-washy, like I don't quite believe that what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So just speaking with authority and trust in yourself, and that comes from confidence.
So why do you feel so not confident in yourself when you're speaking about something and say kinda?
I'm working on that with my therapist right now. I don't want to get into
that. Yeah, we don't have enough time on this episode. Maybe episode 275.
Maybe. Probably won't even need to talk about it by then.
Y'all will know.
I'll have resolution. Got anything else?
I've got a lot of stuff, but we got to be able to stretch this out over the next 10 years when we're filthy rich podcasters.
You know that.
Interrupting podcasters, who I am.
You know that.
Yes, I am.
You know, we can always.
We can always, yes.
We can always take this and break it down into a couple episodes. It's that easy with it, editing.
So here's a couple things. I'm going to give y'all some podcasts, and I don't know how Hannah's going to do it, but she's a electronic genius, and she will post it with it. Show notes? I hear that all the time. Show notes?
We'll have this in the show notes.
Yes. Check the show notes. Whatever those are, that'll be underneath the podcast when you pull it up.
Maybe.
Ed Milette podcast. Andy Frisella's is called Real AF. Andy Frisella. But he used to have one called the MF CEO. You can just use your imagination what that means. Once you listen, you will know. However, if you get on the Real AF podcast and you scroll all the way to the bottom, if you put on there that you want to see all episodes or listen to them, and you scroll all the way to the bottom, the first 300-something episodes, which were several years' worth, is the MFCEO project. So if you're wanting some ideas on keeping your mind straight and how to work on your inputs and outputs and all that good stuff business-wise, I think he's one of the best I've heard on it. These dogs are driving me crazy.
Do you hear them?
Yes. Anyways.
Everybody else hears them. It's picking up on here.
Hey, it's because this is real life. Anyhow, so that's a good one to listen to. There was another one I was going to throw in there. Those are the two.
Crime Junkie? I really recommend Crime Junkie.
If you want some mindless time when you're driving, you don't want to better yourself at all, Crime Junkie's freaking great. I love it.
However, if you're taking a lot of road trips and you're filling your mind with true crime podcasts, just be prepared that you're going to be suspicious of everybody that pulls over at a gas station next to you. Like, maybe they're going to do something, or they've already done something and they've got a body or something in their trunk.
Or they may want to kill you.
You may start thinking, not that I do, but hypothetically, you might start thinking everybody's wanting to kill you when you go places. So.
Yes. So those are the two that I listen to the most. And I listen to some fitness, health ones and whatnot. But business-wise and motivation-wise, those two guys are fabulous. They actually have a group together that they do some things with. But I highly recommend them. If you don't like profanity, you're not going to like Andy Frisella. But the guy, you can tell he's super genuine, and he really cares about his people. And he's a grassroots, hardworking dude. Several things I've ordered from his supplement shop have handwritten notes on the receipts, which to me means I'll continue to buy those even if they're not the best, which I think they're very good. Don't get me wrong, but I would buy that over somebody else's that didn't seem to care about their people.
Also, The Ultimate Human with Gary Brecka.
Yeah, that's one that I listen to a lot.
The 15-Point Plan podcast.
No, I never heard of that.
It's a Win, Make, Give podcast. You know Win, Make, Give?
No.
It's Ben Kenny. Win, Make, Give.
Say that again. Win, Make, Give?
Win, Make, Give.
Win, Make, Give?
Win, Make, Give. Win,
yeah.
Make, Give.
Okay. Yeah.
Say it five times fast.
You just did already.
Oh, Think Like a CEO. Did you say that one?
No, but that's a good one. It's Gary Keller. And, well, actually, it's not him anymore.
Jay Papasan.
So, we'll sign off. This episode is brought to you by Man Bud and Seltzers, the barely alcoholic seltzer for men who really aren't.
What is that called again?
Don't drink seltzers and call yourself a man.
Man bun seltzers.
Of course, there are some dad seltzers that are super popular. I haven't ever tried them.
I wasn't recording. Oh. I'm just kidding. I was.
Son of a bitch.
Hey, give us a review. Like, share with your friends. And
yeah, a good review. If you don't have a good review.
Only if you're going to give a 5-star review, then leave us a review. If not, keep on moving. Just go find another podcast and one you like and give them a 5-star review.
Because you only want to give good vibes.
Yeah. Unless you're
if you have a man bun and you love the barely alcoholic seltzers, you're probably not listening to this anyways.
I hope not.
Doesn't matter.
We're going to get canceled.
No.
Good thing you're wearing your cherry box.
Man buns can't cancel people.
You're so... Oh. Catch y'all later.
Bye.